I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go to Mark chapter number 10. And in Mark chapter 10, Jesus Christ is going to address the subject of leadership. And the message this morning is called Learning to Lead Like Christ. And I want us to go to Mark chapter number 10, and I want you to look at verse number 42. And Jesus Christ is going to teach his disciples, his inner core group, how to truly lead. To lead differently than the way the world tells us to lead. In Mark chapter 10, verse 42, it says, "But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man," that's a reference to himself, Jesus, "for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, you meet guys, those of you who are married out there, you meet the girl of your dreams, you fall in love, you ask her to marry you, you have a wedding ceremony, maybe a honeymoon, then you come back down to earth from your heavenly orbit, and you have to learn to live together in peace. And very often, guys are like, "Wow, we got along great while we dated. What happened?" Sometimes it can be like two porcupines living in the same little hole, right? And a high percentage of the time, when issues arise in marriage and they begin to surface, many times it's because the man is failing to provide the leadership that the wife needs. Now, God has designed that the man should provide leadership for his wife. And then the wife responds to whatever leadership style that her husband employs. Many times that can make for a very explosive situation that makes the 4th of July fireworks look like nothing. Ladies, you got to understand, though, here's where you got to be patient. Most men today that are becoming dads today, they've not had many times, praise God if they have, but many guys have simply not had a godly leader to mentor them and show them how God would have them to love and to lead their wife and their family. They've had no real example. Maybe they had a good dad, but not really a dad to show them how to lead like Christ would lead. And so as men, we have to learn, you know? We got to learn it. Sometimes it's on the fly, we're learning it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, they don't give you a handbook before, and okay, like, you know, you go get your driver's license, you got the handbook, you memorize it, and you spit it out, and you're done. You're learning on the fly, man. You're learning on the run. You are being immersed into that situation, and you begin to realize after you've been married maybe for a very short time that, man, I don't think I was quite equipped for this. I don't think I was ready for this, and I don't think I had everything I needed to prepare, and then you become a dad and many times, and then you're like, you know you're not prepared, you know? And it's like, wow. And so we're learning and we're growing as leaders. And the good thing, though, is this, is that as men, especially if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, aren't you thankful that we can learn and we can grow? It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter whether you had a dad. It doesn't matter whether your dad was a godly dad. If you know Christ, Christ can teach us from his word and through other guys in the church and mentoring each other and helping each other, we can become the godly leaders that Christ wants us to be. So we don't have to lose hope. We don't have to be discouraged and think, well, my dad wasn't there or my dad wasn't this or that. You don't have to repeat that. You don't have to be what your dad was. You can be your own person, and Christ can make you into the leader that you're capable of being. Jesus Christ was a leader like no other. But as we study the life of Jesus Christ, we make some interesting discoveries. He was the greatest leader that the world has ever known because he was the greatest follower that the world has ever known. He was the greatest leader that the world's ever known because he was the greatest follower that the world has ever known. He never swerved from following the Father's will. I want you to understand, it was not about him. It was not about Jesus. Jesus did not come to this earth with an arrogant spirit where it was about him. He very much knew that it was not about him and it was about the Father's will. Look at the verse on the screen where he said this. He said, guys, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And he said, my meat is to finish his work. Jesus Christ was such a great follower. And God is looking for some men who will be committed followers of Jesus Christ in their homes, in their churches, and in their communities. We will never be effective leaders until we become dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, Jesus Christ is going to lay out some things here for us that are extremely practical. Every single one of us guys can take these things home with us and work on them this week. I'm telling you, we can take them home, pray about them, and work on them this week. This message isn't going to be up here. It's not going to be something like way up that you can't reach for. This is going to be very practical, right from the lips of Jesus, about how to be a great leader for your wife, that she needs you to be, how to be a great leader for your kids, how to be a great leader at work, wherever it may apply. Lessons on leadership right here, okay? The first thing is this. Number one, Christ did not selfishly dominate others. He did not selfishly dominate others. You look at verse number 42 again. Look at it with me. Jesus called them to him, called his 12. He said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. Now, did you notice the style of leadership here that the world uses? Notice the words, to rule over. He says they rule over. That, you know what that means if you look it up? It means to be first in rank or power. The idea there is that the world's philosophy of leadership is that you rule over. You know, it's you're first in rank, man, then you need to use it. You're number one. And, you know, athletes, you see them, they run around the field, you know, and they point to themselves and hold up this. And that's the world's philosophy of leadership, is that it's about you. You rule over. The second thing he said is that they exercise lordship. That means to lord over somebody, to subjugate, to control them. The next phrase he uses is the phrase exercise authority. That means to wield full privilege over. I'm the boss and you have to do what I say. So a summary of the world's leadership philosophy is this. Here's the world's leadership philosophy. Dominate, bully, control, and manipulate others. Use your position and use others to get what you want. Get your way. And that's the world's philosophy. That's like we talked about last week. The flesh is, you know, have it your way. We want our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And we said last week the biggest issue in our Christian life is we want our own way. We want our own way. We want to have it our way. And he says the world's philosophy of leadership is to have it your way. But in verse number 43, look what it says. He says, but so shall it not be among you. You see, what he's telling the 12, and I can just picture Jesus, you know, I don't know, maybe he had a wooden stool or something he's sitting on like this, you know, and he's got the 12 guys all gathered around him. He says, guys, you know what the world thinks? The world thinks this, that you lord over, that you subjugate people, you control, you bully them. He says, but guys, it shall not be so, guys, among you. And what he's saying to them is he's saying, you know what, that's the way the world functions, but that kind of philosophy, that kind of way is not going to work in my kingdom, guys. That isn't going to work in the spiritual realm. It isn't going to work. That's not my way. And as we look at Christ's life, sure enough, we never see him using his power. Now, he did the right thing, and it didn't always make. He wasn't just a people pleaser. He wasn't just going to do what everybody wanted him to do. He wasn't a milquetoast. He wasn't just some kind of a doormat. Hey, just walk all over me. It wasn't that at all. He was a man's man. He was a leader. He knew the right thing. He knew the Father's will, and he was going to do it. And not everybody liked the Father's will. Not everybody liked what Jesus was doing. But yet, he never swerved from it. And as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, though, he didn't make people follow the Father's will. He didn't make people do things his way. He gave them the option. He said, hey, if you want to come after me, then, hey, here's what you need to do. Deny yourself. Come after me. Follow me. And he gave people that choice. He didn't make people follow him. He didn't try to just control people. He gave them that option while he did the right thing. In fact, look in your handout at Philippians chapter number 2, and notice this describes the mind of Christ. Philippians 2. He says in your handout, he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How do you think of leadership? When I say, hey, tell me four words that describe leadership. Yeah, and you don't do it, but you know, if you were going to do it, what would you say? What's a leader? And you may think, well, control, power, position, blah, blah, blah. But I want you to take your pen or pencil, and I want you to do me a favor, underline a few words for me. Let's go back to that verse, and I want you to find the word servant, and I want you to underline that word servant. I want you to find the word humbled, and I want you to underline the word humbled. I want you to find the word obedient, and I want you to underline the word obedient. And I want you to find the word death, and I want you to underline the word death. And those are the words that describe the mind of Christ. The words like servant, humbled, obedient, death, submitted to death. These are the things that described the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do I apply that to my everyday life? How do I apply that to my marriage? Well, here's how I apply it, is I look at that and I say, wow, okay, when I try to employ the world's methodology in leading my home, I'm going to find out that it doesn't work so hot. You cannot rule over your wife and expect to have a happy home. Ladies, good place to say amen right there. Because I'm not getting any from the guys at all. All the guys are like, you cannot rule over your wife. You know the old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? You are not, I don't know if any of you have tried that style of ruling over your wife. It doesn't work too good, does it? You know, the idea of I'm King Tut and everybody serves me, everybody does what I want, that didn't work. Jesus told you it wasn't going to work. So when we try it and it doesn't work, it shouldn't surprise us. Because Jesus said it wasn't going to work. So when your wife feels like that you're taking advantage of her, that you're using your position to manipulate her, that you're taking your position and you're using her and abusing her, you know, so to speak, and I'm not talking about physical abuse. I'm just saying you're taking your position and you're using it for your advantage. Well, that isn't going to sit well. Jesus told you that wasn't going to work. So when marriage problems surface, that, you know, we shouldn't be surprised if we're employing that style of leadership. It's just not going to work, you know. When we kind of just have that attitude that it's about me, it's not going to work, all right? But now, there are some positive things that Jesus taught here in this text. He said, hey, you can't be like the world, but let me give you some positive things, he said. All right, number one is this. Look at it with me. Actually, it's number two in your notes. Christ led, here's how he led. He led by ministering, all right? Number one there, he led by ministering. According to Christ, what defines a great leader? Look at verse 43. Let me show you what defines a great leader according to Jesus. Verse 43. He said, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Jesus was a great leader because his whole life and attitude was characterized by ministry. Take your Bible. Keep your bookmarker or your handout here and go back one book to Matthew chapter 9. Can I just show you the heart of Christ? Let me show you an example of this teaching in his life. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. This is an example of this teaching that he's giving them, kind of exemplified in a situation in Christ's life. Look at Matthew 9 verse 35. Matthew 9 verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know what really hit me there? What really hit me is he's going around to all these cities and villages. He's looking for needy people. He's just giving, giving, giving. He's ministering, ministering, ministering. He's got this ministry mindset of, you know what? Here's these people. And he says they're like sheep. And they're like scattered sheep. They've got no shepherd. And his first thought was not, hey, how can I use this for my advantage? Hey, how can I take these people that are like stupid sheep, and how can I get them to serve me? How can I get them to serve my agenda? No, his attitude was, how can I serve them? How can I shepherd these people? How can I help these people? And that was his mindset. That was his attitude. It had been so easy for him to take his gifts and abilities, like healing. He had that gift of healing. And to take that gift and then use it to manipulate people to follow his agenda. He didn't. He just wanted so much to minister. He had that ministry mindset. And if you flip back to Mark 10 real quick and look at the end of verse 43. Everybody look at the end of verse 43. And everybody tell me, what's the last word of verse 43? Minister. And if you look that word up, it's diakonos. And it's where we get the word deacon. Isn't that neat? He said, "You, the one that's greatest, let him be your minister." And it's diakonos. It's where we get deacon. And you know what it means if you look up the definition of diakonos? One who runs on errands, an attendant, a waiter at a table. You know, you think about what makes a great waitress or a waiter at a restaurant. They got a ministry mindset. They are wanting to minister. They want it to be a great experience for you. They are there to meet your needs. They are there to give you what you want, you know, and to try to help you and to provide for you. That's a ministry mindset. Jesus Christ, he said, you want to be greatest? Let him be your minister. Diakonos. It means to minister, to run on errands, to wait tables. You know what the context of that is? Let me tell you the context of why. Okay, guys, he says, teachable moment. Everybody gather around. Let's talk. Why did he do that? You know, every scripture has a context. Do you know what the context of that is? Two of his disciples, two of the 12, James and John, they had just come up to Jesus. And we find out when we cross-reference Matthew 20, same story, it gives us a little more detail. And when you cross-reference that with Matthew 20, you find out that they went to Jesus with their mother. Their mother set them up to do this. It's not Mother's Day, but I had to get that in there somewhere. Mama, James and John were brothers, and Mama set them up to do this. You listening to this, Mama? All right. My Mama's over here on the front row. And they went with Mama to Jesus, and they had a request. You say, well, what was the request, and why did it lead to this discussion on leadership? Look back at verse 37. Let me show you what the question was. Verse 37. They said unto him, grant unto us that we, that's James and John, may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Come on, in the kingdom, in the millennial kingdom. No big thing, Jesus. We're not asking much. We just want to be one on your right hand and one on your left hand when you're reigning in glory in your kingdom. We just thought that it might be a good idea, Jesus, if when you're reigning in the kingdom, if when everybody looks at you, they see us right up there with you. We thought that might be a good idea. I mean, you sure don't want Peter up there. He's kind of rough around the edges, you know. Is that not Barney Fife-ish or what? And Mama set him up to do this. You know, we thought it'd be a good idea if when everybody sees you, they see us. Can you imagine Rich and Rob coming up to me, Pastor Rich and Pastor Rob, and saying, yeah, Dan, you know, we were the pastors that have been here the longest, and so we thought it might be a good idea if when you preach on Sunday mornings, if one of us is up there in a chair on the right and one of us is over here on the left, that way when you're preaching, everybody sees us. That's what they're asking. And so Jesus says, okay, guys, gather around. Teachable moment here. And he gathers the 12 around him. And he says, you know who's great, don't you? It's the one who ministers. It's the one with the ministry mindset. And guys, we would be very wise to learn this lesson. According to Jesus, the husband who ministers the most is the greatest. Meeting the needs of your wife, helping her if she's tired, protecting her emotionally, protecting her physically, protecting her spiritually in her walk with Christ, protecting her in every way. Mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Our daily prayer, and to be honest with you, it's really the only way to do this. The only way to have the mind of Christ and to have a ministry mindset is to make it a daily prayer. Is, Lord, help me to have a servant's heart towards, and then you fill in the blank. Help me to have a servant's heart towards my wife, my children, the people at work, wherever it is, but Lord, help me to have a servant's heart. Help me to have a mind like you, Jesus, a ministry mindset. But the next thing I want you to get is this. Number three, Christ ministered by serving. You see, a Christ-like leader has a ministry mindset, but what does that cause a leader to do? Look at verse 44. Flip back over to verse 44. Notice, what does a ministry mindset lead you to do? Verse 44, it says, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Jesus said that a ministry mindset leads a person to serve. Well, that makes sense. That's pretty logical. If I'm looking for ways to minister to my wife, Denise, then it leads me to serve her. You know, if I've got a ministry mindset, then I'm like, honey, you've worked hard. You've cooked this meal. Let me do the dishes, or let me help you with the dishes. You know, hey, we got company coming over tonight. Honey, what can I do? Recently, I asked her, I'm like, hey, we got company coming over. What can I do? And she's like, you can vacuum the floors. Got it. You guys ought to see me, man. I am one mean machine behind a vacuum cleaner, man. I get everything going the right way, man. And, what can I do to help? You know, what can I do? Hey, you know, you want to plant these flowers? All right, I'll come home from work. We'll get these planted. What is it? You know, if I've got a ministry mindset, then I'm looking for ways to serve. The Bible says, by love, serve one another. Love motivates us to serve. If I love my wife, I want to find ways to serve her. And by the way, ladies, the wife does the same thing if she's filled with the Spirit of Christ. She's looking for ways to serve her husband. She's looking for ways to serve her family. The wife does the same thing. I don't want you to get the idea here that it's just the husband running around serving while the wife sits around going, yeah, bring me a lemonade. Yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm just glad you're serving, you know. She's serving too. That's her mindset too. You say, wait a minute, it's not Mother's Day, it's Father's Day. Ladies, I didn't want to leave you out today. You know. But what do you think would happen in a marriage where both spouses are attempting to serve each other? It'd be a little taste of heaven, wouldn't it? What do you think would happen in a church if every church member said, you know what, I'm going to quit griping and complaining and I'm going to serve instead. I'm just going to find ways to serve. I want to be part of the solution. And what if we said, I'm not going to say one griping thing for 1 month. And I'm just going to find ways to serve. Jesus was such an example. You know, he did not come to be a political king and be served. He came to serve. His service would take him all the way to the cross. The Bible says, look down at verse number 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He took every one of our sins on himself. He paid the full debt that we owed for our sin. And he made it possible for every single one of us to have eternal life. Do you understand? Christ served us by dying for us. And sometimes we may say, and you may have said it, and I may have said it, I would die for you, honey. But I think the question is really beyond that. Not just would you die for her, will you live for her? Will you live for her? In your handout, it says this, if you aren't serving, you cannot be like Christ. It's that simple. It's the essence of the Christ life. You cannot be like Christ if you aren't serving. You know, and look, guys, I know it can get crazy. I know it can. And, you know, yesterday we had a men's conference. It was called Men of Service. And I got the privilege, it was inspiring to hear about six different guys from our church stand up and give testimony. And the only one on staff was Pastor Shannon, who kind of concluded it. But it was so inspiring to hear from these guys. I mean, it was incredible. And, you know, Pastor Rich made the comment at the end. He said, some of you may be thinking, well, Pastor Rich, you know, you're paid to serve. He said, hey, I was serving before I was ever a pastor. And that's true. I was looking back at the ordination message for Pastor Rich. He served 9.5 years as a volunteer in our church before he ever became a pastor. You can't be like Christ if you aren't serving. And I know it can get crazy. And I know you can overcommit. And I know that. I know that. And that's not good. I know you can overcommit when it comes to serving. But I will say this. If I'm going to have to err one way or the other, I'd rather serve too much than not enough. I'd rather overcommit than undercommit to what I could do for the Lord. Imagine a marriage where a husband and wife are serving each other. Imagine a church where the members are all serving each other and serving the community. We would have homes and churches full of joy. Because one of the keys to joy is serving. You see, joy doesn't come through griping and complaining. Joy doesn't come by selfishness. You'll never get joy that way. Never. Joy comes by serving. The last thing I want to give you is this. Number four, Christ served by sacrificing. You know, if you look up at the screen, you'll notice the building blocks. He led by ministering. He ministered by serving. He served by sacrificing. And he did. Christ was a giver, not a taker. Jesus' attitude was not I want, it was I will. I've just been reading a great book, and it's a little book, and it's called I Will. And it says 9 traits of the outwardly focused Christian. And the book is written to church members, really, not to pastors. And it talks about that thing of having the attitude of I will. I will. And being an outwardly focused Christian instead of everything being all inward and about me and about what I like and my pleasure. It's all about being focused on others. And the name of the book is I Will. And that was Jesus' attitude. It was not I want, it was I will. His life was spent in sacrifice for the needs of other people, always thinking of others. In your handout, look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. He says, for ye know that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And you know, that goes against, listen, I want you to know, guys, that Jesus Christ did not serve when it was convenient. It was not easy or convenient to go to the cross and to make a sacrifice for your sins and my sins. That was not easy. That was not convenient. And the American mindset puts a lot of value on convenience. We do. And again, we can't help where we're born, but we just need to be aware of our culture and aware of the inherent dangers in our culture. And one of the inherent dangers of our culture is that we're all about convenience. And that's why we have cell phones. And that's why we have microwaves. And that's why we have drive-through windows at restaurants. And that's why we have Amazon.com. Amen? Right. I want it, and I want it at my doorstep in 2 days, and I don't want to have to leave my house to get it. Right? That's how Amazon's made a killing. Convenience. We live in a culture of convenience, but I want you to understand this. It's in your handout. True Christ-honoring serving requires sacrifice. I'm sorry, but it does. If it's Christ-honoring, there's some sacrifice. You give up something that you could keep in order to help somebody else and be a blessing to them. That's Christ-like. And, you know, hey, it's Father's Day, guys, and I feel very certain that every one of you in here, guys, you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to be a greater leader for your family. And what a greater place to learn, you know, than, I mean, how could you find a greater place to learn? Straight from the lips of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be the leaders that Christ wants us to be, we have to have a ministry mindset that leads us to serve, and then a service that leads us to sacrifice. I'm sorry, it's not going to be Christ-honoring if there's no sacrifice. I give up something I could keep in order to be a blessing to someone else. I give my time, or I give my resources, or I give up my priority list. Why? To help somebody else. And there's sacrifice. There always is. If there's no sacrifice, there's probably really no service there. That's the heart of Christ. Imagine a home and a marriage where everybody's serving each other. Everybody's sacrificing for the good of each other. What a happy home. And you know, I was thinking about this morning. I hadn't planned on saying this, but as I was looking this over on the way to church, and I thought of our home this morning. And I thought, this morning, you know, you've got... Sunday mornings are crazy at our house. I mean, we're up at the crack of dawn, and you know, Caleb's got to be here early for bus, to ride the bus. Denise has to be here early to put donuts and refreshments out. Clayton has to be here early for music practice, and it's crazy at our house. And this morning, I was looking around, and I thought, wow. Caleb said, Dad, can you iron my shirt for me? I'm running late. I'm the ironer at our house. I said, sure, son, I'll iron it. Mom said, Caleb, I'm running late. Would you go pick up Miss Joni? She was supposed to pick up Joni for church. Caleb said, sure, Mom, I'll go get her. Denise is like, this is too heavy. Dan, can you please help me? I know you're studying, but can you come help me? Sure, I'll help you carry this to the car. Denise is to me like, hey, honey, you need to eat something. Let me make a muffin for you. She takes a muffin, warms it up, makes sure I have something to eat. Clayton's like, can you make some coffee for me, Dad? Sure, son. I'll make coffee for you. And I thought, this is cool. This is what it's about. And they didn't know what I was preaching today. You know, so it wasn't for the sake of that. They had no clue what I was preaching today. And I thought, this is what it's supposed to be like. Just everyone helping each other, caring for each other, without thought of themselves, and just being glad to do it. Now, I am not telling you that every day like that is like that at our house. We have our challenging moments just like you do. But I'd say by and large it is that way at our house. It's a very happy, very joyful place. Kendall, you agree with that? Yeah, okay. It is. It's a happy, joyful, but because it's serving. We've tried to embed that in our kids. It's about serving. It's not about taking. It's about serving. And the thing is this, in your handout it says, it is possible through Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church, huh? It is possible. You know, there's a I'd like to conclude with this video illustration that I think will kind of drive home the point. If you could just put your notes up there and just direct your attention to the screen. This is a real quick little short video that I want you to watch that I think will impact you as it did me. And just so you know, you got to listen up right now because otherwise you'll get lost. There's a lot of flashback here, sequences. It's a young man who got word, obviously, that his dad has died or his dad is dying. And so he's on his way to his dad's house. And his mind is flashing back. The same guy in the car is the one that you'll see that's the little kid growing up. And then he's a teenager going to college. But you're going to see him having flashback about his dad as he's going to see his dad who's dying. And I want you to watch this video and think about it. Think about what impacted this kid as he's going to see his dad. Thank you. You know, what really hit me about that was what he remembered was those times of serving and sacrificing from his dad. This is what God's calling us to, men. To live a life, we're not King Tut. We're servants. We're servants for our families, servants for our church, servants for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.